Yesterday, Xiaoji explained the first guardian meditation among the four kinds of guardian meditation, which are important in the practice. And today, Xiaoji will explain on the remaining three. The remaining three are Metta, Asubha Bhavana, and Marana Sati. Metta is the loving kindness. One needs to have empathy towards others. Just as one wants to be well and happy, the others will be the same. Others will also like to have happiness and well-being. The wish for other beings to be well and happy, wanting the benefit and welfare of others, is called metta. If a person is dissatisfied with some other person or some other group, then there can be anger. If there is anger, hatred, aversion, grudge, the mind will be dry. It will not be moist. One needs to cultivate the metta, loving kindness, wanting the welfare and benefit of others, and the mind will become moist and wet with metta. Metta should not just be superficial. One should not just pretend to have metta, but it is very important to develop metta that is meaningful, wanting the welfare and benefit of others. People pretend to have metta in order to make one's business or one dealing with others to be smooth. If one pretends to have metta, expressing the pretending metta in the bodily action, verbal action, without the metta in the mind, it will not be a true metta. So in order to have true metta, one should have metta, loving-kindness, true loving-kindness in the mind. Xiaoji explains the meaning of metta. Metta means the moisture or dampness that can keep the mind smooth, damp, and moist. And another word for metta is called sneha or sineha, meaning dampness, moisture of the mind, keeping the mind moist and smooth. The example is given here. If two things are dry, they cannot be stick together. Two pieces of dry paper cannot stick together without any glue. If these paper have glue on them, they will stick nicely. So in order to stick two pieces of paper, glue should be applied on these paper. But if only one of the paper has glue, but if the other does not, then air can be trapped in between and it will not stick as much. But if glue is applied onto both pieces of paper, it will stick very nicely. In the same way, when dealing with one another, there needs to be metta in between. If one person has metta while the other is just pretending, it will not be easy to deal among each other. So there needs to be metta on both sides of the person. When dealing among family members, relatives, friends, or business partners, or fellow Dhamma practitioner, fellow yogis, there needs to be mutual metta among each other. Only then it will be easy to deal with each other. There will be unity and there will be success. One can have ordinary metta and one can also develop metta bhavana. A person who has either the ordinary metta or metta bhavana will not give priority to one's own benefit. One will not be seeking one's own benefit, but one will seek the benefit and welfare of others. And such kind of person will be able to work for the benefit and welfare of others. And such kind of person will not want others to suffer because of him or her. And one would only want other people to have benefit and well-being, to be smooth in every matter. So by having metta, one can gain such benefits. Other will have friendliness towards the person so that other people will not harm the person. And by developing metta bhavana, there are 11 benefits such as sleeping in comfort, waking up in comfort, not having bad dreams, and so on. Having metta, the others will not harm the person. The others will have friendliness towards the person, and thus one will be free from seen and unseen danger, and the person will be able to practice without danger. One can develop metta in order to be free from internal enmity of anger, aversion, hatred, and grudge, and to develop wholesomeness. And also, there is the developing of metta in order to develop jhana, absorption. But for yogis who are practicing Satipatthana meditation, they do not need to practice metta in order to absorb, in order to gain absorption. For yogis who are practicing Satipatthana meditation, they can develop metta just as a protection for their practice and in order to be free from dosa, the enmity of anger. So the custom of developing metta, one has to develop metta to oneself as a example, just as one wants to be well and happy, the others will be the same. It is the nature of human being that they want happiness. So the person is among people who wants happiness. One has to develop metta. May I be free from enmity and danger. May I be free from mental suffering. May I be free from physical suffering. May I be able to take care of myself comfortably. Just as one wants to be free from enmity and danger and so on, others will be the same. So one has to radiate metta towards others' being. May all the beings be free from enmity and danger. May all the beings be free from mental suffering and physical suffering. Everyone wants to be free from suffering. Everyone wants to be well and happy. So if one is free from mental suffering and physical suffering, then the person will be well and happy, and it is quite complete. But it is also important that the person be able to take care of himself, herself, comfortably. So one also needs to radiate metta towards others' beings, that may they be able to take care of themselves conveniently. So having one's body, one has to take care of this body by feeding, by giving water, taking rest, keeping one's body in moderate temperature, not too cold, not too hot. So such kind of duties should be carried out comfortably. So one has to radiate metta. May they be able to take care of themselves comfortably. So this is how it is explained in the text, the way to spread metta. In order to be in accordance with the wish of every being to be happy and well, to be free from suffering, one needs to be free from enmity and danger. Enmity means there are two kinds of enemy, the internal enmity and the external enemy. The internal enmity are akusala vera, enmity in the form of unwholesomeness, or in other words, kilesa vera, enmity in the form of defilements. And the external enemy are the enemy in the form of person or being. Among the two enmity, the internal and the external, it is rare to encounter with the external enemy. But what is giving most trouble is the internal enmity. Dosa, anger, aversion, hatred, grudge are the internal enmity. One has to spread metta so that other beings will be free from enmity and danger. Most important of all is that there will be freedom from this internal enmity. By being free from internal enmity, one will also be free from danger. By radiating metta, may they be free from enmity and danger, it means that may they be free from the nearest internal enmity, dosa. If a person is not free from internal enmity, one will be indulging in dosa, anger, hatred, aversion, and there will be envy, jealousy, destroying others. Indulging in dosa, one can commit cruelty, tormenting others, killing others. Committing such kind of transgression, indulging in dosa, there can be the danger, attanuvadabhaya, the danger of self-blame and self-criticism. One will be blaming oneself whenever thinking about one's own wrongdoings. So such kind of danger, self-blame and self-criticism, arises because one is not free from internal enmity. Committing wrongdoings, such person will be blamed by the surrounding. Such person will be blamed by the wise, and there will be the danger, paranuvadabhaya, the danger of being blamed by the wise. Committing wrongdoings due to extreme dosa, committing crime, such person will be punished by law, and that can even lead to punishment such as death penalty and so on. And also the other person that gets hurt can take revenge. So it is dandabhaya, the danger of being punished or the danger of being taken revenge. And committing wrongdoings with bad intention, such bad intention, the bad volition, can lead to dukkhadibbaya, the danger of being born in lower existences. Not being free from internal enmity, there will be these dangers. By being free from internal enmity and danger, there will automatically arise physical well-being, happiness. So by being free from internal enmity and danger, there will not be physical suffering, mental suffering. Instead, there will be happiness and well-being. Everyone in the world, they like to be free from mental suffering. They like to be happy. Everyone wants to be well. They do not like physical suffering. So in order to be free from internal enmity and danger, especially in order to be free from internal enmity, dosa, one needs the power of metta bhavana. But satipatthana practice is most effective in removing dosa. By being free from internal enmity of dosa, one will also be free from danger. It is important that the power of metta should be strong. The metta developed in the form of jhana, absorption, is the strongest. But also, developing metta in order to develop wholesomeness can be done in such a way so that it will be powerful. Radiating metta towards others, may other beings be free from internal enmity and danger. May they be free from mental suffering, physical suffering. May they be able to take care of themselves comfortably. Such is metta in mental action. It is called monogama metta, metta in the form of mental action. Metta in the form of mental action itself is not as strong. One needs to practice metta in the form of verbal action and bodily action. When talking, one should talk in a sweet, conducive way so that others will hear it in a pleasant way. So such kind of talk is metta in the form of verbal action. And it is very important to have metta in the form of bodily action. One should do things with metta towards others in bodily action. Do things for other people's benefits and welfare. So in this way, when dealing with others, one should have metta not only in the mental action, but also in verbal action and bodily action. Talking in a pleasant way that is helpful to other people's benefit and welfare. Do things that are conducive to other people's welfare and benefit in a polite way. So if dealing among each other, if there is mutual metta among each other, then such kind of relation will be very smooth. So it is important to develop metta. Metta also has to do with others. In every person, there are both lovable aspect and unpleasant aspect. In order to develop metta, one needs to look at the lovable aspect of others. One should see the lovable aspect of others in a constructive manner. If one is looking at the other's weak points and unpleasant aspect, it will not be easy to develop metta. That's why it is important to see the lovable aspect of others. One needs to look at other people's lovable aspect in order to develop metta, and thus dealing with others will be smooth. The third is asubha bhavana, contemplation of loathsomeness. One should contemplate the loathsomeness, the foulness of one's body. Practicing satipatthana meditation is to purify one's mind so that the mind will be pure, clean, and beautiful. In order to have pure, clean mind, one should be free from the ugliness of dosa and to develop knowledge. By developing knowledge, one will have the spiritual stamina able to withstand good and bad worldly conditions. The body as a whole may look pleasant. If looking at the body as a whole, it may seem pleasant and there can be attachment. In order not to see it as pleasant, one should dissect the parts of the body one by one. Just as when a car is assembled, the car may look very nice, but when the car is dissected part by part, not many people will want it. In the same way, In the body, when each of its parts are in its own place, together as a whole, it may look pleasant and there can be attachment. In order to see it, in order not to be attached in it, one needs to see part by part. There are 32 constituents, 32 parts of the body, but it is many, so one can reflect the five basic parts of the body part by part: the head hair, the body hair, nails, teeth, and the skin. So if they are in their own place, it will look pleasant, but if one sees it part by part, it will no longer be pleasant. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is to purify the mind so that the mind will be pure, clean, and lovable. In order to purify the mind, in order to beautify the mind, one needs to contemplate on the loathsomeness, foulness of one's body. Knowing that the body is loathsome, one will see oneself as loathsome, one will see one's body as loathsome, and thus there will not be attachment in others. In the course of practice, when yogis comes across the opposite sex, which are beautiful or handsome, there can be some attraction and it can be a disturbance to the practice. In order to prevent this disturbance or hindrance of the opposite sex, one has to contemplate asubha bhavana. One has to contemplate on the loathsomeness, the foulness of one's body. The fourth is maranasati, contemplation of the death. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, the main goal is to reach the deathlessness. Amata means deathlessness, the state of deathlessness. So one has to practice Satipatthana meditation to attain amata, the deathlessness, nibbana. The person who wants deathlessness, amata, one needs to contemplate on death. Usually people are afraid of death. By contemplating death, one will no longer be afraid of death, and this will generate diligent effort. Practicing diligently, courageously, without regard to one's body and life. So by contemplating death, one will have courage to practice Satipatthana meditation, which has more guarantee. If there is arising, there will also be passing away. If there is a rebirth, there will also be death. If there is rebirth, it will not stay the same. One gradually grows older and older, one ages, or one has sickness, illness. Even though one does not die of sickness, but one will eventually die of old age. So long as there is avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving, there will be more rebirth. Having avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving, one will not see the flaws of existence. One will think of them as good, and one does not know correctly. There will be knowing wrongly, and one will think good and pleasant of one's existence. And there will be tanha, craving. Based on avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving, one commits good and bad deeds that lead to more existence. So when there is arising, there will also be dissolution. When there is rebirth, there will also be death. There is the analogy given: when a new house is being constructed for the family to live in. So when the house has been completed, it got destroyed for one, it got destroyed. So the person will think, rather than the house being destroyed, it will be better off not to construct it in the first place. Having rebirth, it will lead to death. So rather than to die, it's better not to be born. Being reborn, having rebirth, even though one wants to stay young, one grows old, even though one does not want illness, there can be illness, even though one does not want to die, but there is death. So based on rebirth, there leads to sufferings that one does not want. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is to gain deathlessness. Dying over and over again is not good, so one practices Satipatthana meditation to attain deathlessness. If there is no avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving, there will not be rebirth. If there is no rebirth, there will not be further suffering. All the sufferings will come to a cessation. Not having rebirth, there will be peace. So one has to practice in order to attain deathlessness, which is ultimate peace. One should contemplate on death. One should contemplate on death that death is certain. Death can come any moment. So by contemplating death, one will no longer be afraid of death. So when living, one should extract the essence. While one is living, one should practice Satipatthana meditation so that one have good access from this life. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, even if one has not totally cut all the existences, but if the person had reached to at least the stage where one is totally free from apaya, then one has an assurance. Just like extracting gold from the trash. Just like extracting gold from trash, one should extract the essence from one's existence that has no guarantee or assurance. So in the course of practice, one should practice Chidura Rekha Bhavana, the four guardian meditation. So in each day, one can contemplate the four guardian meditation for 2 or 3 minutes, 1 minute of Buddha Nusati Bhavana, 1 minute of each of the other three. So in this way, one contemplates the four guardian meditation once or twice during the day. But one should give priority to practicing Satipatthana meditation. Contemplating the four guardian meditation, it is a way of maintaining the custom of meditators, and also by practicing Chidura Rekha Bhavana, one will be able to practice Satipatthana meditation without danger or hindrance. So Saraji encourages all the yogis, may you all be able to practice diligently so that you will attain the deathlessness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.